Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just got a great suggestion. Grant H. Paulson on Instagram in the DMs for the G&D First Annual Spelling Bee on this, the day of the start of the spelling bee. Darris versus Ryan. You want to know what name I got?
Well, don't tell me, because then they'll look it up.
No,
oh, you're going to show me?
I'm going to show you.
Here we go. Let me see. Come on.
That's a three-pointer, I think.
That's as good as money, sir.
Nobody's getting that one.
I loved him.
I got to get my belt close for that one.
One of my favorites all time. You still never explained to me why he wasn't great at the highest levels.
So I remember him with different teams.
Yeah.
But I know he started here because
I had
his card when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Really good player.
He could do everything. And I still can't spell that name. I've said it a million times. No chance to spell it.
My guess. I mean, again, you want to go strategic here, boys. You want to try the three-pointer? This is not an uncontested shot at the top of the key.
Good luck.
There's going to be some hands in your face a little bit here, okay? Cannot wait for the 5 p.m. spelling bee on Grant and Danny. Before we move on to the John Madden biopic, I want to talk to you about. We have been discussing on this the day the Capitals got a new coach. Within the last week, Wizards' new president. Josh Harris is about to buy the Commanders. Caps have a new coach. There's some moving and shaking happening. Nats have promoted their A prospect, kind of the face of their rebuild. So we can continue to take your tweets, send them in at Grant H. Paulson and Funny Danny on who you think's farthest along in this rebuild for DC Sports. But I wanted to circle back to the take from Will, and I got a bunch of people saying they think the Commanders are the closest. We really didn't address that part of his call. I kind of argued why I thought he was being a little harsh on the Caps. But it's very simple for me. The Commanders, outside of the quarterback position, are very, very close. Forget that I don't really trust the front office, and I think that they're okay on the sidelines with their head coach. Probably not a whole lot better than average there. My issue is just quarterback. It's that simple. You don't win the Super Bowl unless you're really good at QB. So either, if you're saying it's the Commanders, you're telling me one of two things. Sam Howell is a dude, is a star, is a bona fide stud who's going to be the QB one here for years, or they're going to find another quarterback and either by way of the draft or free agency, fix what they haven't been able to fix for three decades. Like, one of those things has to be true.
Right. And if you look at the history of Super Bowl winners, okay, it's basically since the modern era of the NFL, which I consider, you know, normal free agency, right after basically Gibbs retired, 1992. That's kind of what the NFL has been since then. It's evolved into this passing league, as we know. But since that point in time, it's a who's who of quarterbacks. There are exceptions, of course. There are your Trent Dilfers, there are your Joe Flaccos, there are your Eli Manning two different times. And what it took was something absolutely exceptional to happen around the team. Your best bet is to have an excellent quarterback and then some good fortune, right? You get a defense that turns you over that's hot, an offensive line that's healthy, a couple skill guys, whatever it is. Having a great quarterback doesn't guarantee you a Super Bowl. See Rodgers, Aaron with only one in Green Bay. What it does is it guarantees you legitimate shots. You start going to conference finals enough times over that it breaks right for you. See, you know, teams like the Bengals, et cetera, where all of a sudden this laughable dog bleep organization that could never get right, couldn't get out of their own way, and were just as big of a joke as anybody ever, well, they got Joe Burrow. All of a sudden the world changed, right? That's the nature of this thing. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So, yeah, you're basically saying that'll work itself out. I got decades since Joe Theismann broke his leg that says it doesn't just work out.
Some roster moves today by the Commanders. Expected to release Andrew Norwell as soon as he passes a physical. The formal move today was that they put him on the physically unable to perform list. So I guess they think as of right now, or maybe they know, he can't pass a physical. You can't cut him now because you have to pay him. So this is the harsh business that we talk about here. The NFL, what did John Allen say last week? This is a beautiful game and a terrible business. So they're basically waiting for Norwell to be healthy enough that they can release him. As soon as he passes a physical, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, they'll cut him. Norwell, they signed last year as a starting guard, really struggled. It did not work. It was a multi-year commitment. He's due $4.4 million this year, $1 million guaranteed for injury only. So he's really doesn't have guaranteed money this year. But when they cut him, looks like they're going to save about $2.3 million. They might have around $2.8 million in dead cap money, but they will save a couple million dollars by releasing him. So if you've been wondering what's going on with Norwell, why haven't they released him yet? It sounds like they just don't think he's healthy enough to pass a physical, and so they are now putting him on the PUP list, buying themselves a little more time so he's not burning a roster spot, and then when he's healthy enough, they'll release him and get a couple million bucks back.
There you go. I have been wondering about that, to be honest with you. I hadn't heard any health issues with him.
Well, it was pretty obvious when every time Ron Rivera talked about the O-line, he never mentioned him.
Well,
and
it
he
was
talks
really
about
funny,
guard
yeah.
specifically, like five times in the last month, and every single time he mentioned Sadiq Charles and Chris Paul, and he goes through this whole list of players, some of whom none of us know, that are just like guys that are tangentially on like the 90-man roster, and he's never said Norwell's name. So it's pretty obvious that he was not going to be here.
It was a funny moment where our own J.P. Finley was like, and Andrew Norwell. And Ron was like, oh, yeah, he's there too. Literally, like, said it almost
I didn't even hear that
flippantly. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I saw this over the weekend. Want to see what you think. John Madden movies being made. I'm a sucker for biopics. Most of the time, it's music that they make these for.
That's right.
Think about, like, Walk the Line. With Johnny Cash and some of the others over the
years. Freddie Mercury movie. Taron Egerton did Elton John.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was one for James Brown. I don't remember what
that
was called.
Chadwick Boseman.
Probably Get Up or something. Boseman did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making one for John Madden.
Great.
So happy about this. Can't wait. Will Ferrell is going to star as John Madden. And when I first heard that, my initial response was, that makes no sense. And as I thought about it, this is the guy who does Harry Carey, who's got some depth. I don't know if he'll try to do Caliendo-esque Madden at times, but the thick hair, you could see him being a little bit of, you know, maybe packs on a couple pounds and does the big hair from when Madden wore his shirt and tie on the sideline with the Raiders. I think I love this. Will Ferrell as John Madden, because at his core, Madden was funny.
You know,
and not always on purpose, but like the character was kind of
There's like a splash of Yogi Berra in there.
Yeah, there's like
goofy,
fun, relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Like the movie probably has to be comedic more than it is dramatic. And I think Will Ferrell's done some dramatic work as well. But I think this might be perfect.
I love the idea. And I know people recoil. I've now learned to not, what am I trying to say? I've learned to not overreact to casting announcements. On movies for things that I'm interested in. Like if I don't care about it, I don't care who gets cast in what role or whatever. Like with all due respect, like, oh my God, they got Brie Larson to be in Fast and the Furious. I don't care about that. But when she's Captain Marvel, I am interested, right? So if I'm interested in a movie, I've learned not to overreact. I basically call it my Heath Ledger corollary because I remember when I found out Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, I, like all the other nerds in the world, was so upset. I could not have been more upset. This bubblegum dude from A Knight's Tale, this, you know, the heartthrob, cheesy zilch from 10 Things I Hate About You. No, one of the great performances of all time. One of the great performances of all time. He was incredible. So I've now kind of said, I don't do the big reaction up front because a lot of people that need this to work have said this is what we think is going to work. Now, they're not always right. Hollywood swings and misses like anybody else does. But there's enough behind this where they're going, our best bet for this thing is Will Ferrell, because Will Ferrell's got the same thing that Madden had. Not necessarily like with the humor, but there's a likability quotient that John Madden had, a magnetism, where everybody loved that dude. Will Ferrell has that, and that's going to come through in the role. So actually, my initial reaction was, that didn't make any sense to me, but you can't just have a 2-hour and 10-minute impression. You know, as good, I mean, Frank Caliendo's Madden is as good as an impression as anybody's ever done of anyone. You can't do that for 2 hours and 10 minutes. There's got to be more to it, right? You got to like dive into the character. I think Will Ferrell's going to crush it.
I think he will too. I'm really, really pumped about it. And I think there's a chance that it could end up being the next really good sports movie. Like, it's been a while since we've had a great sports film. What's the last really good sports movie we've had?
Put me on the spot there. There's got to be something post-Miracle, right? There's got to be... Was 42 was after... I think that was good, but it didn't like blow me away.
That was a couple of years more recent.
But it's
than
still,
Miracle.
Yeah, it was more recent than Miracle. But I'm trying to think of the last one where I went, that sports movie rules.
We need a good one. But I ask you this question now, biopic-wise. So we're saying John Madden played by Will Ferrell. We'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. What's next? What else do you want to see done? Who needs a movie made about him in sports?
So this is my fascination. There are a couple. I want a Jim Valvano movie story. Not just his speech at the ESPYs, right? Not just the national championship thing that everybody knows, right? When you think Jim Valvano, you think of two moments, right? Lorenzo Charles, the shot, the dunk in at the last second, nobody knowing what to do to win the national championship, him running around like a crazy person trying to find someone to hug, and the don't ever give up speech, which we hear a lot. This was an incredibly dynamic, interesting person who defied all the odds and ended up kind of at the peak of his profession. I'd watch something about him, and I happen to love this one athlete. I just want more people to talk about him and think about him and know about him. And he's had the hiccups for more than a year, apparently. Bo Jackson. People need to understand.
Does the 2 years straight of hiccups make the film?
I'd hope not. Like, at least maybe like in the credits where it's like Bo would go on to have the hiccups for 2 years, which belies like the incredible achievements of this dude, where he was the fastest of the fast, the strongest of the strong, and could throw a ball 400 yards or 400 feet in the air. And hit bombs.
What about Deion Sanders?
That's one, too.
Especially now that Deion's coaching, and he's had this really incredible last couple of years where he was coaching at Jackson State, I think it was. Now he's left to go to Colorado. He's a lightning rod and kind of moderately divisive, and people are kind of all arguing and discussing him all the time. I find Deion to be
fascinating.
Just a compelling character. Layered, right?
Yeah.
There's so much, and I think of him along the lines of Bo Jackson because of what all he accomplished. But you can't tell me that that wouldn't be an entertaining movie. Like, the guy's life is pretty incredible. If you wanted to go with just kind of a wild story, because a lot of these musicians have like a wild element to them, right? I think Dennis Rodman could be fun. Like, there was Ooh. Like a multi-day stint where he just left the team in the middle of the seasons and just went to Vegas on like an all-time bender. He could be interesting.
Something like that, I think, would play in terms of entertainment. I mean, to me, I'm into, like, there's a million ways to kind of get your hooks in me when it comes to sports documentaries and the like. You know, like those Out of Bounds ones on Netflix where they chronicle the corruption of FIFA or the Tim Donaghy scandal, things like that. This actually happened and you're not going to believe this bleep, right? Those are always riveting. Those are always incredible. The one I like almost is the thing that we forgot about. So, for example, that talking about Jim Valvano, thinking about this, that Houston Cougars college basketball team with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, one of the great teams ever assembled, not a national champion. Like, that kind of story, we've forgotten about them. They're the afterthought. I think UNLV, for example, one of the greatest teams I've ever seen at any level that got upset by Duke on their way to back-to-back national titles. So UNLV, defending national champion, running roughshod over the entire college basketball landscape. Just a perfect team with, you know, with Larry Johnson and Anderson Hunt and George Ackles and Greg Anthony and the whole deal, Stacey Augman. They were the perfect college basketball team, and Duke upsets them. So they're now lost in the annals of history. I like that kind of story, too, where it's like the team that we forget about.
I could dig that. I don't know, I grew up at a time when, and maybe it's because I was a kid, but it feels like there were unbelievably good sports movies all the time.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was like the heyday of baseball movies. And I really believe that shaped my baseball fandom. I think it was significant. But like in a couple of year span, I had Angels in the Outfield. I had Rookie of the Year. I had Little Big League. Sandlot was still huge and prevalent. And it just seems like as time goes on, fewer and fewer of those get made. But everyone says, oh, well, Hollywood's run out of ideas, or there's not enough like new creative things. There's so many good stories, dude. You could look at every single roster on a sports team right now
yeah.
and find a super compelling guy who overcame something crazy to become a star. And I'm not saying every one of those movies becomes The Blind Side, so to speak. But like those are out there for sure. You just can't convince me otherwise. But Will Ferrell's one of my favorite all-time comedic actors. I will say it's been a little while since Will Ferrell delivered the goods, hasn't it? What was his last smashola? He's done a couple of wacky, weird movies. What was it? He did like that singing competition in Norway for Netflix. Remember that movie?
I do.
That was so terrible.
One of my, I can't remember who it was. They were like, dude, funny. It was like a Ryan Cleary style recommendation where they're like, honestly, funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, number one funniest movie. And
what, for that stupid Will Ferrell singing thing?
Yeah, the one, and I was like, there was something that happened. I think I may have smiled one time watching it. Maybe I was in the wrong mood. Who knows? But yeah, it's been a minute.
I think you were in a fine mood.
It has been a minute.
So what was his last smash? Because he was on that all-time heater with Talladega Nights and Anchorman and all those. I mean, he did The House with your buddy Rory.
Yep.
Back in 2017.
Which was not a smash.
I liked that. It was a good movie, but it wasn't like a smashola. I'm trying to think of, like, find me the last one. It's been a little while.
His last smashy smash?
Daddy's Home, you know what I mean? There's some Zoolander 2s in there. What about Get Hard with Kevin Hart? Does that count as
a
smash?
No. The other guys with Mark Wahlberg was funny. That's his last really funny movie.
But funny's not the threshold.
You're looking for smash?
We're talking about Will Ferrell got to round the bases because he hit a ball over the fence.
Is it Anchorman 2 in 2013?
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time, man. That's 10 years.
That's a lot of movies you've made without getting to round those base paths and high-five that third base coach.
He's doing that thing now when guys get so big that he's now like the executive producer of a million different things. You know what I mean? Like, that's his new move, is to be like, he's the executive producer on like some comedian you've never heard
of
show.
So maybe he's not taking the acting part as seriously.
That's what I wonder.
Or not even as seriously, but maybe it's not the priority, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Bateman's kind of doing that, where he's just Ozark's been so unbelievable that, like, I listen to him on interviews, and he says, yeah, I'm really interested in directing. I'm trying to find projects I want to direct, and that's kind of the next phase of my career and my life.
Just hey-budding you as a director.
Hey, bud, I need you to step on this mark over here, okay?
Hey, pal, you want to be more intense on that one, okay?
I was at the movie theater this weekend. I told you I went and saw Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. The new trailer for Mission Impossible. Bro.
All trailer team, right?
First team all trailer. Hall of Fame 2-minute preview of a movie. But we don't talk enough about Tom Cruise.
Correct.
He just keeps doing it. We're talking about Will Ferrell, who's one of the most successful legends of his era, having gone basically a decade without a smash. Jim Carrey, same thing, right? Eddie Murphy comes and goes. He did 15 movies in 4 years in the 80s, and then he just disappears for a while, and he comes back as Sherman Klump. Tom Cruise, the Mission Impossibles, the volume of his hits, one after another, and by the way, probably saved the movie theater industry with Top Gun. 2.0 here. Who's had a longer career with a higher batting average?
Nobody.
And more consistent hits than him. You can't get him out. He's the toughest out in acting.
Because he's had some eccentric moments of being a bit of a weirdo. Surprise Hollywood actor in the limelight for 4 decades will do that. I'm telling you, I make this argument to people all the time. People don't understand. I'm not saying he's the greatest actor. I don't think he's better than Sir Laurence Olivier or, you know, some of the more accomplished award-winning type people, Daniel Day-Lewis, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. Nobody hits bombs like this dude. He makes nothing but smashes. Even the movies that don't get enough credit. Like, nobody saw American Made, where he plays a CIA agent that sweats a lot going back and forth between Latin America and the U.S., setting up, like, international deals. Nobody gives respect to Edge of Tomorrow. These are excellent movies. I'm telling you, they're really, really good. Everything he does turns to gold.
I got a text here from a buddy who says,
except Rock of Ages.
Have you seen Air with Affleck and Damon? Yeah, I talked about it a bunch on the show. I guess if you're calling that a sports movie, which tangentially
I will.
It is,
yeah, it's a sports movie. There you go.
It's Jordan. Like, that could be, it'll go down as a really good sports movie.
Yep.
And that's obviously the most recent, but maybe breaks the drought there. They said, how about you're missing the Dan Snyder biopic? We've talked about that locally. I don't know if there's really a call. Like, anyone's asking for that on a global scale.
I mean,
scale.
We are very much here locally.
We all want that in D.C.
I want every detail. You know what I want? I want a movie that goes October 2nd, 2022. And it chronicles that day where they're like, defiant statement, anger, no way, it's conspiracy. I'm suing everybody. Screw you, guys. Where it goes from that to the sale. If you start me with like a ticking timer of that day, 24 style, and then tell me what happened that month where he went like defiant to, okay, fine, they can have the team. You tell me what happened then, I'll pay whatever you want. Whatever you want.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. So at 3:45, our double play, and at 4 o'clock, the Beltway Blitz right around the corner. Remember, we got EJ Raddick of NHL Network tonight at 6 to tell us about the new Caps coach, Spencer Carberry. But next on G&D, this will be good. Nick Gates, the center for the Washington Commanders, is going to stop by. We will have him on the program. He's going to be the starting center this year. It's a reworked offensive line. Let's get up to speed on how that group's looking next on G&D.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. Commanders will be back at the office, back to work tomorrow with OTAs ongoing in Ashburn. And Nick Gates and his teammates will be back on the grass trying to get ready for week one in the Arizona Cardinals. Gates is the brand new center, expected to start in the middle of this reworked offensive line for Washington. And he joins us right now on G&D on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Former New York Giant for four seasons before coming over to Washington in free agency this year. Nick, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. How you been?
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I've been good. You know, just got acclimated to living out here in Virginia and, you know, just having to, you know, trying to figure that out. But it's going good.
Enjoy the traffic. Probably used to that coming from the parts of the Northeast, man.
How does it work? Speaking of traffic, when you play for the Giants, you guys are in, but East Rutherford for games. Nobody lives in the city. Like where do you live and where do you train?
Yeah, nobody. There was like two or three guys, I think, my whole five-year career over there that lived in the city. So it was just too much of a pain in the butt to go back and forth. And, you know, it was too much traffic. But most of the guys live either, like, right around the Rutherford, East Rutherford, Clifton, or a lot of guys that live down by the water, which is, like, Fort Lee. It was, like, Port Imperial, like, those places. And, you know, it's, like, 15, 20 minutes from the water to the stadium. But I live right in, what was it? It was like right in East Rutherford, or Lyndhurst, that's what it was called. And I was like 5 minutes from the facility, which was nice. You could see the facility from my balcony.
Nick, what attracted you to here? Why did you want to come here? What did they tell you? What did they promise you? All sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, they gave me an offer. And they always had a good team on paper, and, you know, they always played us tough. And, you know, it feels like they're just always, you know, just one or two steps behind, you know, not making the playoffs and stuff. And they were really close, but... You know, they're a good young team, and I'm excited to, you know, get going and play with these guys.
We've talked a lot about how the O-line could end up being the key to this whole season because Sam Howell as a young quarterback is going to need some help. Curious to get your thoughts on just how this has come together here. There's a little bit of a competition on one side of you at guard with Sadiq Charles and Chris Paul. Looks like maybe Sam Cosmi is going to be the guard on the other side. But what do you make of how the lines come together? Because there could potentially be four new starters with Charles Leno.
You know, we're all starting to, you know, try to settle in with each other and figure each other's sets out, which is, today was probably our better practice we've had of OTAs. And, you know, I just felt like everybody's more comfortable with each other and starting to figure things out. And, you know, it takes a couple practices and a couple, you know, plays to get used to each other because everybody has their own little different niches and, you know, things they got to, you know, that they do during the game. But I think it's going good pretty far.
What's different about Eric Bieniemy's offense versus kind of what you've done?
Yeah, we're huddling and, you know, getting in the huddle and, you know, kind of not going slow, but we're slower than I was in my last offense and not as many code words and things like that. But, you know, we're still, you know, we're in passing camp, so I can't tell exactly how he's going to call it. Or not passing camp, it's OTAs, but it's like a passing camp, you know. There's not really run blocking and things like that. So it's kind of hard to tell how he's going to call games and how that's going to be so far. But, you know, so far I like it. He brings the energy every day and, you know, it's fun to play for him.
Can you give us an idea of Nick Gates, the starting center for the Commanders who they signed this offseason, former New York Giant, is with us on G&D. Like, what these OTA days are like, how much time is spent, like, in the classroom, and then what are you actually doing when you're on the practice field, and whether or not you feel like they are important? Because I know they're optional. Not everyone is always going to show up, but you've obviously decided to opt in. What gets done at these?
Yeah, you know, our day usually starts around 8, 9 o'clock, depending on, you know, what phase it is. And we usually have about 2 hours of meetings, an hour and a half, 2 hours of meetings. And then we usually have, like, it was phase one, we were on the field for, I think, an hour, and then went and lifted. Now we have practice for, like, an hour, 45 to 2 hours, and we're out there, and then we have a 30-minute meeting right after. But, yeah, no, it's been going good. So it's, I think OTAs, it helps build chemistry, and, you know, you're not banging on each other, so you kind of, you know, you're not so much the body, after your body's not hurting from it. And, you know, just, I think it builds camaraderie and, you know, gets everybody used to each other and, you know, kind of build relationships with each other.
New Washington lineman Nick Gates joining us here on Grant and Danny. Nick, you had to go up against this defensive front when you were in New York, you know, the Daron Payne's, the Jonathan Allen's, the Montez Sweat's, Chase Young and company. What did you think about them from afar, and kind of what have you learned since you've been here for these few days?
Yeah, and I had to go against them for the last, what was it, 4 or 5 years, and they were always tough. You know, they always got, that was like their main focus when we would talk about their defense, was their, you know, their front four and how we couldn't let them wreck the games. And, you know, I always didn't like playing Washington because, you know, Payne has that hunt move and, you know, he's really good at it. And it's kind of hard to stop. And, you know, or not Payne, Allen has a hunt move, and Payne, just, he's a quick, twitchy guy. And he's started a little hunt move too, but he's good. They're just really both good and talented. And, you know, they work hard. They're not lazy, which you usually find with guys that are, you know, bigger names and, you know, are good players. They kind of get lazy a little bit. Those two are not like that at all.
What's Allen's move that you think's helped him be so effective? You're using a
term,
but we don't know.
You know, remember Reggie White back in the day?
The hump move, the Reggie White hump.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the same move, and it's once he sinks it in there, There's nothing you can really do about it. So
really, it's a pretty dominant move. That's interesting. And Payne had a crazy year last year. I mean, he'd gone from pretty much like a 4 or 5 sack guy to 11 sacks, and we're hoping he can sustain that. Got a big contract. What helps him to be so effective getting to the quarterback from the inside?
Yeah, he's strong, fast, and twitchy. And he has a plethora of moves he can pull out there. He can beat you inside, he can beat you outside, or he can go down the middle of you if you ask to. So it seems like he always has a good plan for rushers, and, you know, he attacks your weaknesses, and, you know, that's what he's good at, I feel like.
What do you like to do away from football?
I'm a big cook. Love to cook, and big sushi guy. So I tend to, you know, do that or go out and eat, and big foodie. So that's probably – if I probably wasn't playing football, I'd be a chef.
Can you make your own sushi? Can you do, like, the rolls, like, the, with the fine motor, like, teeny-tiny finger-type moves?
Yeah, I can make it. It's not as, you know, good-looking as a good sushi chef would make, but I could do, like, nigiri or sashimi and things like that. That's what more I'm into. I'm like the omakase style, like sushi, instead of like the normal, like most people know, it's just like normal. It's a omakase is like a way you serve fish, and like it's like a style of like how they serve it. It's like piece by piece, and it's usually like anywhere from 15 to like 16 courses. And it's a little more expensive than normal sushi, but, you know, it's definitely worth it if you can get to it.
So if I was coming over and you had to impress with a meal, but it had to be good food, not sushi, like actual food, what would you make?
I'm making either a nice New York strip and a cast. I know how to cast and make steak and a cast iron pretty well.
Let's go.
And then, or these lamb loins, which I love. They're one of my favorite. I think they're better than lamb chops.
So that's interesting, because I can remember over the years being around the team forever, like a couple of guys, everyone's on the grill, right? But that really took cooking seriously. Have you always been the best cook on the teams and stuff you were on, where guys will come to your house and you'll make something for them or bring something in, like that kind of guy in the locker room?
Yeah, I've always had to have at least a couple. My house was never, I had an apartment in New York. It was a little 2-bedroom, 1,300-square-foot house or place. I really couldn't have many people over, but I'd probably have like 2 or 3 guys over at a time, and I'd make them food and, you know, just hang out and watch the Thursday night game or, you know, the Monday night games and hang out and do that. But yeah, it's usually been me. Like, no, there's not very many people I've met through my career and even in college that like know how to cook or are good at cooking and enjoy it.
Nick, you went to Bishop Gorman, right?
Yes, sir.
That's like the factory at this point, right? Like how many dudes are getting paid to play football that have gone to Bishop Gorman?
Yeah, I think there's 7 or 8 in the league now from this last year. I think there was 3 or 4 guys that got drafted out of there or picked up, which is crazy. So, I mean, there's a couple of good guys. Like Roddy Stanley, he's the left tackle for the Ravens. And he was one of the highest paid left tackles at one point in the league. And he
won.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And we got a behind the scenes to the program. Yeah, Tate was there at the time. Tathan,
honey.
Tate Martell. But is that school, like, it can't be that all those kids just live there. It's got to be like IMG Academy, where dudes are flying in from around the country to play ball there.
Dude,
right?
They're nasty.
Yeah, so no, not really. I think more now they kind of go out and get guys. But when I was there, there really wasn't that. There was all like local guys, or you'd get a guy maybe from California or like Utah or Arizona that would come in and transfer in. But for the most part, it was mostly people that lived around Vegas, and at least when I was there. Now it's starting to get a little more, but they're not supposed to be able to like give scholarships and stuff like that. But I think they find ways around it, and, you know. They're really not supposed to be allowed to do that because they still play with the public schools in Vegas.
Nick Gates went to Nebraska, now with the Commanders by way of the Giants. So coming out, you were not, I guess, a highly touted prospect, right? You went undrafted. What happened there? Was there an injury, or was it just where you were at your development at that point? Because pretty quickly you ended up being a full-time starter with the Giants. And just take me through the journey, if you would.
Yeah, so I left school early in 2018 from college after the 2017 season. 2018, I left school early, and you know, I was going on my third coach. I didn't really want to do that again. I didn't really, to be honest, I really wasn't like loving football at the time. And
who were the coaches? I'm trying to remember the time frame.
I had Bo Pelini, which I think they messed up by firing. And once they fired him, the program kind of went downhill.
Right.
Him and the AD, they had some problems and didn't like each other. So the man won 8 to 10 games every year for 7-8 years, and you're gonna fire the man? Like, it was a shock for us. And then I had Mike Riley, who they brought from Oregon State, who was a good coach. He had good assistant coaches, and but then they brought Frost in, and I was gonna go on my third coach, and I was like, I really don't want to do it again.
It
was going into my senior year, and it was just a lot. And so I was like, you know, I had a couple of agents come and talk to me, a couple of people, like one of the guys from Nebraska that like talks to the NFL scouts, and they all like had good things to say about me and told me I was anywhere from like the 3rd to 5th round. And, you know, I was like, all right, let's go try it. Let's go try to make some money from this thing. And, you know, I had a really bad combine. I didn't perform well at the combine. And I think that had a big factor in it. And
well,
I just,
why
I
do you think it just
great.
Like a bad couple days at the wrong time or what?
Yeah. I'm not the most talented and gifted player. You know, the way I play on the field, I play hard. I'm like the enforcer type, and, you know, that's kind of my style. I'm a mauler, and that doesn't really translate well to, you know, combine drills and running straight and stuff like that. Like, I ran a bad 40. I think I was like a 5.3, which is slow. But, yeah, it just wasn't good. I only hit 20 on the bench press, which usually checks the box, but it just wasn't a good couple days for me there. It was just tough.
So, Nick, if you were in college now, when they changed all the rules and everybody's NILing to, like, the nth degree and it's unbelievable, what would your NIL skill be? Like, what would you be marketing? Would you be doing, like cooking with Nick Gates at home? Like, what would you do to make that money?
Yeah, maybe try to do the cooking process. I haven't really thought about it. Maybe just a couple of restaurants, being able to do stuff with the restaurants, because, you know, I like to eat, too. I'm a big foodie, and that was the best thing. I think the best part about being in New York was, you know, New York was only – I figured it out by the end of my career. I took the train over. I could be from my couch into the middle of the city in 25 minutes. So I started going over there a lot and eating new foods and different restaurants. And so I'd probably be marketing, like trying to do the restaurants and get in with the restaurants and maybe, you know, make something and have them on the menu and something along that line.
How good a baseball player were you? I'm reading here that you were playing baseball at Bishop Gorman. Was that originally kind of what you were thinking in high school?
Yeah, so I actually always wanted to, ever since I was young, I started playing baseball since I was 3 years old, and like that was my goal, was to make it to the MLB. And my buddies always laugh at me, and they're like, all my good buddies are like, oh, your goal is to make it to the MLB, but oh, you didn't do that, so you made it to the NFL. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it could be worse.
Good, pretty good fallback.
I mean, you're yeah, now exactly, I look right? at you, you're 6'4", what, 275
You just hit tanks.
What were you, a first baseman? Like, what were you?
I'm about 3'10". But, yeah, I played first base, and I pitched. I sat anywhere from, like, 88 to 90 and topped out at 92, 93. I liked pitching. You know? I liked being in control of the game. I liked being, you know, I could dictate the tempo of the game and how it was going to be played. And, you know, I was just, yeah, I like playing first base too. It was fun over there. I was good at picking, like digging balls out of the dirt, picking them and things like that. But hitter, I was fine. You know, I hit a couple bombs here and there, but wasn't great at it. So that's probably why I didn't go that route, because I knew I probably wouldn't have been in the MLB if I, you know, chose to do that. I'm 6'6 right now, about 3'10.
Yeah. A little different than when you were in high school and they were saying, this guy plays two sports. Nick Gates is with us. A couple of moments left here. That's awesome. A two-sport guy.
Seriously, that's cool.
So how did you decide? Was it just the career for football? Because you said at one point you weren't sure you were loving the game still. Like, how did you decide football was the way forward? You made the right choice, obviously.
Yeah, so I had, like, a couple – the baseball coaches saw all the football offers I had, and they're like, we're not going to offer you because, you know, we can only give you anywhere from 30 to 50% usually. Baseball scholarships aren't very big because they have to give, I think they only have like 12 or 13 or 20 guys. So I knew that route. I could have went, the coaches said I could have went and played both in Arizona and UCLA, but I don't think that would have been able to happen. I think they were just kind of telling me that to be able to get me there.
How have you found Ron Rivera and kind of the culture of this organization? He's been trying so hard to kind of establish this group here. You said they've been tough to play against the last few years. How have you found him?
He's a good coach. He definitely, everybody around the building likes him. You don't have to walk around eggshells with him, which I like. And you know, he's just like a genuine like person to you when you know, walking around the hallways and stuff, and ask about how your day, how your family's going, and just like kind of ask about you and wonders how you are as a person, not just, he doesn't just see you as a football player, like a chess piece, which is nice. And a lot of, he hires a lot of guys that used to play, which is, I've never been around before. A lot of coaches I've had before, like they've never played anything. They got to college if they were lucky, but it's like a different atmosphere when you're around people that have played and they understand what you've gone through and they've done it themselves. And a lot of guys did it for a long time. So that's nice to be able to, you know, have. And when you're around them and it's, you know, the tough times in training camp and they're like, all right, guys, I need you to go. Like, I understand where you come from. I understand it's hard, but we, you know, today we got to turn it on. We got to go. We can't be sloppy. And, you know, he gets it because he's done it before.
All right. We're letting you go on this then. Chef Nick Gates. Now you might take the night off from your chef duties since you have to be back.
Freezer. I go pull out the thaw, or I might go to, I found a nice restaurant called sushi restaurant, Noku. It's up in Leesburg, Virginia, I think it is. Not
Leesburg's
15,
great.
20 minutes away. Oh, yeah. I've noticed they have some good stuff up there. I went and golfed up there a couple times, and they have good golf courses. But, yeah, probably I might go there again. I went there last night. I might go back again. And, you know, I met the owner, and he's a good dude. And, you know, he gives me a couple different things to try every time I go in there, and I like to talk to him. So I might go do that again tonight.
If you're just going standard rolls, could you do 8, 9, 10? How many?
Maybe back when I was in college or high school, I definitely, me and my buddies, I'll actually tell you one story before I get out of here. There were six of us. We went to an all-you-can-eat sushi in high school.
Oh, man.
And we sat there for, I think, an hour and 20 minutes, and, like, we ordered, like, I think 20 rolls and, like, 150 pieces of nigiri sushi, and they basically stopped serving us because they were like, you guys are eating too much. Like, you guys got to go. Then they just... They served us, and like, this is the last thing you could put in. And right after that, they came and gave us a check and basically kicked us out of there.
You don't have to leave, but you got to get up out of here. Nick, we appreciate
exactly.
it, man.
You got to go home, but you got to get out of here.
Yeah, here's not no longer the place
for you. We'll be rooting for you guys this year, and you know, we want to see this line come together here for Eric Bieniemy. Thanks for the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
My pleasure. There's Nick Gates of the Commanders on Grant and Danny. Cool to have him on the program for the first time. Top of the hour, we've got your Beltway Blitz on all the teams you care about, including a big Caps hire of a new head coach today and our G&D Spelling Bee, Darius versus Ryan, on day one of the National Spelling Bee tonight at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan, a light night in sport as we get ready for the NBA Finals. A couple of days away, Denver Nuggets, first time getting an opportunity to hoist the Larry O'Brien. They now know they get the Miami Heat after a Game 7 win in Boston last night. Late night Nats this evening at Dodgers Stadium at Chavez Ravine in L.A., Danny. The Nationals look to avoid falling, I should say, 9 games under .500. This is going to be a tough series. So their studs, Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore, pitched in their previous series against the Royals.
Yeah.
And they almost swept that series. They should have. They had a lead in the eighth inning, chance to win a third straight game. But they now play the best team in the National League other than the Braves, the Dodgers, on the road. They've lost 11-14 to L.A. And they go to L.A., and it's Trevor Williams yesterday. He threw pretty well. 6 unearned runs in one inning. Otherwise, the Dodgers didn't score. But even though he's been fine, he's got an ERA sub 4 for the year, they lose game one. Now it's Jake Irvin and Patrick Corbin over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Against this lineup, yeah, on the road. You're trying to take one of these next two, and you'll probably feel okay about it.
Get a little salvage.
But you want to avoid being swept. Big test tonight, though, for the young right-hander, 26-year-old Jake Irvin. ERA a little over 5 so far this season. Taking on Tony Gonsolin, the Dodgers righty, who was an all-star last year. Has a 1.82 ERA in his first 29 innings this season.
It's the thing that they always seem to have that I find amazingly annoying. The Braves have a position player come up every week that they've already signed to a 15-year deal for $18, who's incredible and talented and awesome. The Dodgers are like, I'm so tired. Oh, here's another guy with a 1.5.
Like, you know what I mean? They just sort of fall out of bed with another dude that they, like, have mastered the art of discovering the pitcher or something. And they've got just an endless army of these dudes. Like, at one point, it was going to be Dustin May's time to be the next big thing, or Julio Urias' time to be the next big thing. And it's now just some other dude. It's so annoying, this endless pipeline of excellence. I want blips. You know what? This is my new thing in sports. Teams that have been really, really good and been blessed in a certain area for way too long, see Green Bay, for example. Darkness. I want sadness for you. Give me the equal amount of time or more that you just walked around strutting your stuff because you had Hall of Fame quarterbacking. You deserve decades of misery. Decades. Same for the Dodgers. I want every pitching prospect that comes up to fall flat on his face for the next 15 years.
Not going to happen with Bobby Miller. He was touching 100 all night last night. Looked really good in 6 innings. By the way, Gonsolin's career ERA, 2.44 with the Dodgers. So even though last year was on another level when he had a 2.1 in 24 starts, was arguably the best pitcher in the league for stretches, his whole career, his ERA is a Kershaw-like low twos. But it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
The series finale is one of the hardest things to do in the world, I think, in terms of satisfying as many fans as possible, keeping the artistic vision, kind of making it work in all the right ways. You're never going to please everybody. The days of kind of the sentimental send-off of like how Cheers ended, or the Cosby Show, or some of these other shows, it's never really going to happen that way. It's never going to make everybody happy. The internet is forever, and everybody gets mad at everything. I think Succession did as good a job as you can relatively do in today's media climate. There was one major thing, and I'm not going to spoil anything for folks. I do really think, GP, you should watch this show from start to finish. It's only 4 seasons. There's one major decision that, and I'll just say the name of the character, that Shiv makes, that Siobhan, the sister in the family, makes. I didn't buy, and I thought it was a little too convenient. Everything else did it exactly the way that it should have been done, in my humble opinion. Really, really good job by a tentpole show, a Hallmark show for HBO that we sort of forget. This is their territory. Netflix has come in, Amazon Prime has come in, Disney Plus, all these other places you get these big, mega, huge shows. And that's nice. The original Gangster, that's your home box office network.
Correct.
I guess now it's Max. But
so they have had, I'm trying to think of like the huge shows. They're not all of them that I've watched, but like Sex and the City was a appointment TV Sunday night kind of thing. Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
Carried HBO for years. I know I watched The Wire on HBO at one point, but was it originally on the... I imagine it was.
Yeah. HBO original.
One of the greatest shows ever. 6 Feet Under was a big one that a lot of people watch. But you're right. Before Netflix, and now there's a bunch of them, but Prime and Apple TV Plus, and hey, where are you streaming that? Which app did you just download? The way that you watched awesome TV shows, man, was on HBO. They did the big project.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was doing it.
Yep. And it was, I don't know if they've all been Sunday night, but generally that's what they do. It's like Sunday night viewing when you're at your house, 9 p.m., that's when their great shows are on.
Mm-hmm.
And different shows for different folks, right? Like, I never watched Girls, but that killed, and everyone watched that. Like, they've always had one or two at a time, it feels like.
Yeah, they're innovative. They try different things. For example, they'll do these limited series, like The Mayor of Easttown. It's one of the great shows I've seen, but you know, not doing a season two. It was just a one-time sort of whodunit. The show that you really liked, I'm blanking on it.
Night of,
yeah, for
Loved
example.
It.
That kind of thing.
That was just like an 8-episode silly.
Yeah, that's
just
all they did.
Whodunit.
Yeah, there's no third season. They're not like following up on different characters. But to Succession specifically, it felt big. And that's kind of what you want, right? You want the resolution. You want the tie-in. Again, not everyone's going to be pleased or happy, but I think it ended the right way. So I highly recommend everybody, if you haven't checked out Succession, watch it.
I was a little bit surprised with how many people were talking about it this weekend. Because even though you've referenced it from time to time, and I've seen occasionally people talking about it was an outsized number of people that were debating and discussing the finale.
Because it's the finale, yeah.
Which I get, but it I don't know. It just... I wonder if there's a big in the Venn diagram, if the crossover area of like people I follow in the sports world and people who are watching Succession is just a high crossover number, or if the numbers were that huge. Like, were there 20 million people watching it or something?
That I don't know. I don't know how it compares to some of the big shows, like whether it's House of Dragon, Game of Thrones, The Last of Us, which was doing 30-plus million per episode on all the different platforms, all the different streaming things.
Let's get to the Beltway Blitz next. And remember, in 1 hour at 5 o'clock, we've got Ryan versus Darius in a DC Sports spelling bee. If you've got a name or a sports-themed word in D.C. that you think they won't be able to spell that could help us out, send it on over at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram. You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.